think you said it, consistency. You know, the technique that the D-line are playing with, it starts with the D-line. You watch these guys hit the sled every day, without exception, and it shows up on Sundays. They are striking with their hands. They're reading their keys. They're doing a great job with it. And it's real tough to run on us right now because of the consistency of the technique that the inside guys are playing. And then behind them, you're looking at some real disciplined linebackers that are playing patiently behind the two gappers. So it's right now technique and fundamentally pretty sound.
Bill, Kiko's status, what do you know about him?
You know, he's still up in the air right now. He's not in the building right now, so I don't know anything more than I knew last week.
Is D'Amico Ryan going to practice?
Practice, yeah.
D'Amico's good. I know we'll probably limit it a little bit because he played a lot of snaps. So D'Amico's still got a lot of reps on him right now, probably more than we would like where he is, but the reps he's taking are solid reps. So he'll be practicing today. Yeah, I think Michael's trying to go. We're hopeful that Michael can play this week. We'll see how it responds to some work. Some more work than he got last week.
So you still plan to use a rotation there and just have Hicks step in for Kiko?
Yes. Yeah, we'll still have a rotation with the healthy bodies that are in there and try to, you know, balance it out. Some of the games take a turn on you. Like the Jets game, I was expecting way more base personnel. They're 12 and 21 personnel, and they give us four snaps of it. So that one went to our nickel package real quick, and that's, you know, I could match up base, but it's what we wanted to do. So a little bit of what their pitch count is on what the opponent does.
What about Chris Maragos?
I think Chris is going to be okay. I do. I think Chris will be okay.
Taylor Hart?
Taylor's coming along real quick. I don't know if he'll be back in time for this one, but we're real happy and encouraged with his progress. Same with Sid. Same with Sid. Sid is working through a cast in hand, and we'll see where he is. He'll try. We'll see where that is. That's soon after surgery. I'm not positive we'll have him or not, but there's a shot.
If Chris is healthy, where does that leave Eric Rowe? Is he somebody you want to continue to try to work in, or was that just because of the situation on Sunday?
A little bit happened because of the situation, because we were trying to stay in our dime package and Chris wasn't on the field. But Eric Rowe will get increased opportunities. It was what we needed to see from Eric. Under fire of a regular Sunday, he rises up and makes some plays that he's asked to, and he did that. So we'll still grow him. I mean, there's still a learning curve. Jordan Hicks and Eric both played nice games, but we know there'll be some stumbles along the way as we grow them, but he'll get more opportunities.
Bill, you don't always look at the numbers of sacks or hurry, but I know you talk about moving the quarterback.
Yes.
How's that looking from a pass rush standpoint?
It's looking solid and sound. The guys are doing a great job of executing the plan for the quarterback. You know, what kind of quarterback are we dealing with? We knew that Fitzpatrick had the shortest drop, a 6-yard set point, launch point, and we also knew he got the ball out of his hands quicker than anybody in the NFL over the beginning of the season. So we were going to rush different than you rush a deeper dropper. One of the things, and I'll say this over and over again, sacks and interceptions are attached, and it's the quarterback's choice. We're pressuring the quarterback, and he either chooses to eat it and take the sack, or he gets rid of it. Fitzpatrick was getting rid of it, and they were turning in interceptions. It won't be long until we have a 5 or 6 sack game because the quarterback chooses to eat it instead of forcing it.
With that said, what kind of quarterback is Cousins?
Cousins is solid. Cousins is a great decision maker, I think. And I know he's thrown a lot of interceptions so far, and some of those I think it just has some individual breakdowns. But as far as running and executing the offense, he efficiently gets his drop, gets his reads, and makes his decision.
You look at Brandon Bear, you know, he really didn't have a chance until he came to the Eagles.
Yes.
Why do you think that is? I mean, he obviously has some kind of ability to play in this league. Why do you think he didn't get that?
I think he's built for two-gapping and striking with your hands and his length. Our system fits his skill set, I think, better than anything else out there in the NFL. He is great at striking and pressing a block, getting off and playing the inside run, and that's what the Jets really hung their hat on, was the inside run game. And then Brandon's such a big man, when he gets in front of the quarterback and gets his hands up and attacks the throwing arm, he really does make a difference in a quarterback's ability to throw downfield.
Bill, will you prepare as if Deshaun Jackson will find a way to get healthy and be on the field?
Yes, we will. We'll prepare for Deshaun. I think he's probably right on the verge of coming back, and knowing Deshaun, he'll want to come back for this game just to get back out there and help his teammates more than anything else. So we will absolutely prepare for him, along with, you know, Reed and Garcon, and they're getting a lot of balls. They're really getting some production out of their receiving and tight end game.
Bill,
They seem to read a lot of things, almost like a wide receiver, right?
Yes, he is split out from the detached core often, but he's also, you know, he's a matchup that you have to deal with because he is a very gifted route runner, and they're trying to get him the ball. So he's a primary target on most downs.
Do you almost look at him like you would throw a corner or safety on him as opposed to...
I think our linebackers are athletic enough that we could go in and out of it. Usually with tight ends that have that skill set, we will mix and match a safety or like a Kiko, a taller linebacker, or even Michael. You can mix and match and see how it's working.
Why are you still going with Vinny over Marcus?
We didn't do that last week. Marcus was going to play. The plan last week was that Marcus Smith play about 15 to 20, kind of like Vinny did, you know, the plan was before, but in base, not in the nickel. The nickel that we were playing, or the package that we were playing, only had one outside backer in the game, and we majored in that. So not only wasn't a two-man outside backer rotation, there was only one on the field for most of the game. So Connor took him, and then Brandon took him, and Marcus was the odd man out in that rotation. If that would have played out as a base game and we were in our base defense for a lot of snaps, Marcus would have had a lot more snaps. That's the only reason that happened that way.
In Washington's first three games, they're using Morris and Jones quite a bit. Are those two backs different or do they function the same way?
They function the same way. They are the big, strong, downhill, break-to-tackle runners. They have the ability to go, but they really are a downhill. They run the stretch game. They've added to their run game because Callahan's over there, and they're really committed to the run game, and it showed in the first three games. The Giants game, they had to get away from it a little bit. I don't think they wanted to, but those two runners are solid downhill tackle breakers.
You mentioned just using the one outside linebacker in a lot of your nickel. What precipitated that?
It's a first and second down package that we have where you're 50-50 run pass, but you have three wide receivers on the field. We can go to our full-blown nickel, or we can go to a partial nickel, which what that is. We just have different ways because we have the different skill sets out there of how to defend what that particular offense is bringing at us.
You were trying to take away, I guess, Marshall slants and stuff like that?
Well, yes. You wanted the nickel on the field for the passing game because it turned into a pass game pretty quick. I didn't think they'd abandon the run as quick as they did, but they were committed to running the ball out of the three wide receiver sets early. Now, we had success against it, so it turned into the passing and some of the screen game. But that was the reason we were in the package we were in.
You had four guys already out before the game on defense, and then you have the scenario goes, and you have to, you know, shuffle things around. What was that like for you on Sunday?
Well, I think our position coach is doing a great job of we always cross-train. And you cross-train because an NFL season always plays out like this. You're always going to have those injuries, the last-minute, deactivation or an injury late in the week, and you've got to have guys be able to step in and still run most of your package. Now, the package has to shrink a little bit when a guy doesn't get many practice reps at it, but the position coaches do a great job of teaching in concepts and bigger pictures. So, for instance, a guy playing safety can live at nickel, a corner can come in, emergency corner could go to a safety if he understands the bigger picture. And that's kind of what happened in that game. We were moving around, had a couple different moves to make. We were most comfortable in putting Jenk back because of all the passes that were coming at us, and there was a vertical passing element to the Jets game, and EJ's had a lot of experience in there at the nickel, so that was the move
that's
we made.
Kind of what I was referring to because, you know, when Maragos was out, you don't bring in another safety, you bring in another
correct
cornerback, you know, EJ Biggers or whatever, right, and switch things around, so that's kind of what radical shift mid-game.
Well, Jenkins plays a lot of safety, and EJ runs the backup nickel all the time. So it wasn't that big of a stretch for us. It's just Jenkins doesn't get much nickel safety. He gets all the base safety, and he comes down in the nickel and has done such a great job for us down there. It was tough to move him out of that spot. But because of the vertical element of the passing game, we liked him back, you know, deeper. And EJ's he's a veteran, and he made a lot of good plays in there. He got beat on the one touchdown. But for the most part, I think he played quite a few snaps and was solid in most of them.
At times over the past 3 years, you sent Barwin out to the receiver to jam him at the line. What kind of look does that present? And what's the balance between doing that and having inside rushing the pass?
Again, it's a mix between three and four-man rushes. A lot of times we're rushing somebody else, like an inside backer, to make the fourth rusher, which attacks protection schemes and rules. And by him getting out on a big receiver like Brandon Marshall, we get both a reroute at the line of scrimmage. It disrupts the rhythm and timing, and it's a different look. Sometimes we'll walk him out and bring him still. And that dynamic in the protection world gets the tackles have to talk. They got to know he's out there. Is he in? Is he coming? Is the inside guy coming? So it's a schematic, really, advantage for us to throw a couple of those in a game.
Is Barwin unique in that he can do that? Is
Brandon can do it, too. He really can. He's built either way. If that whole thing would have been flipped and would have been a Brandon side, he could have been out there and would have been out there and done the same thing.
Speaking of Barwin, I don't know if you've seen it, but on the Internet there's a funny clip from Sunday's game where he's inside rushing against number 77 for the Jets, and he looks downfield, and the guy looks, and he goes past him. I've never seen anybody do that.
He actually, what happens on that, and a lot of times the tackles, he in that package, he's an inside rusher. He was actually spying the quarterback on that play. But when you look out, a guard is trained that a game is coming or a stunt. So he looks out right away to see the end that's crashing in on him. And Connor was just kind of playing around with it because he knew he was just spying the quarterback. And then he added, and you saw the protection open wide up. And it was we kind of fell into a nice little stunt there that you'll see again.
Generally speaking, when you have a reserve that's playing well for an injured starter, will you be more cautious in bringing that starter back?
No, I think when a starter is ready to come back, you put them back in there. It's great, the experience that the guy comes in, and especially when they play well, you might up the rotation and say, okay, hey, starter that's coming back from injury, you're not going to play all of the snaps because your backup did a nice job. And defensively, this system, we are built to rotate and roll all positions when we can, and we do because of the snaps. So it's a great advantage for us to have that, but it may affect the number of snaps, but not that the starter is a starter.
What's been your impressions of Washington's run game in the first 3 weeks?
It's real strong. They really committed to it. You can tell. It's like Dallas was committed to it last year. The Washington Redskins are committed to their run game. There's only one game, like I said, the Giants game, that they had to back off because of the score. But they're going to run the ball, and they're going to run it with a good variety of types of runs. It's not one type of run they come at you with. But they're very committed to it, and they're doing a good job with it.
How much of a luxury is it when you can stop the run just with the guys up front? And, you know, how much does that go into your game planning and play calling when you know you don't have to bring a safety down?
It's a good thing. It's a lot of hard work and dedication to playing the techniques go into that luxury. But it is a nice deal to where you can hold up in the run game and split the safeties, meaning give help to the receivers in the pass routes. And that's a big part of what we did in the Jets game. So you've got to be able to hold up in a lighter box. But, again, the scheme of a two-gap helps you do that too.
Okay. Thanks, guys.